it's Monday the 11th of March. I'm Miranda Sawyer and I'd like to thank the Academy for my award, if only I could find it. Welcome back to Papercuts, the modern newspaper review, where we speed read every single newspaper in the land daily and then give you the edited highlights with analysis, commentary and maybe an action replay if Rob Hutton's done his stretches. And if you enjoy the show and you fancy helping us out with a few quid every month, then why not join the Papercut Supporters Club? Rest assured that every penny you send is spent on buying actual newspapers and paying our team of young producers and on not hiring an Oscars frock for me, because luckily for us all, I wasn't invited. So, if you fancy helping us out and getting ad-free episodes, a special extra story at the end of the show, and maybe even a Papercuts mug or a t-shirt, then why not head on over to the show notes and click on back.papercutshow.com to see how you too can become a Papercut supporter. Now, here are the headlines for today's show. Fakey Katie, press agencies say royal photo of Princess Kate and kids isn't what it seems. Award ceremony in not bad shocker. The Oscars went smoothly. The papers are gutted. And we've all got crabs. Margate's Crab Museum has made our day. Welcome to Papercuts. We read the papers so you don't have to. Thanks for joining us on Papercuts, where our fingers look weird in photos too. I'm Miranda Sawyer, and joining me today is sketch writer for The Critic and Oppenheimer fanboy, it's Rob Hutton. Hello, Rob.
Hello.
And making his debut on the show, it's comedian, actor and severe Barbie appreciator, it's Rich Fulcher. Hi, Rich.
Hi, I'd like to thank the Papercuts Academy.
It's okay, we're very grateful. So what have we got on the front pages today? What have you got, Rob?
The Guardian. Tory ex-Home Secretaries warn against politicising extremism. That's this week's political row. Mm. And a photo and feature story about Ramadan in Gaza, which looks pretty unhappy. The Times, more on extremism and so on. Blasphemy demos are growing in radicalism. It says, Starmer to govern with a gang of four.
Can I just say, sounds exciting. He's going to govern with a gang of four.
And look, there's a lovely photo of the Princess of Wales on Mother's Day. Isn't that sweet?
We
won't be hearing any more about that. That's The I has got faulty IT at Home Office hits effort to tackle illegal immigration. It's all going wrong there. And just my last paper is The Telegraph. And photo from palace was doctored, say agencies.
Da, da, da.
Oh, my goodness.
So that lovely photo is not quite what it seems.
No, no. What is going on with Princess Charlotte's wrist? And other things. Extremists must be named, Gove told, and a slightly worrying story. Police take bodies from funeral home after two people arrested. 34 bodies have been removed from a funeral parlour.
In Hull. Okay. Rich, what do you have on the front pages?
Okay. For the Sun, of course, the Kate debacle. Mm. Looking great, Kate. That's what will be discussed later.
Yeah.
Daily Mail, Town Hall's woke spree.
Oh, goodness. Woke, you say?
Yes.
I saw Town Hall woke spree at the Glastonbury on the John Peel stage.
Yeah, it was a good one.
I love the woke sprees. I love the woke boot sales. As Hunt demands end to public sector waste, bankrupt and hard-up councils double spending on diversity schemes.
Mm.
That's fun. Sacre bleu, words boffin, English is just badly spoken French.
That's the cover of The Star. So this, I have to say, so The Star, we normally really rely on The Star for jokes and joy. And I just want to say that that front cover has gone a bit wrong. There are no pictures of lovely dogs. I think they were maybe waiting for the cross winner and then didn't like them.
Yeah.
There are no picture of cute dogs. There's no cartoons of Rishi Sunak. It is not a good cover from The Star.
As a founder member of the Edinburgh University Font Spotters Society, I think part of their problem is that there's all of this white space above the letters. And, I think normally they stack their headlines in a different way so you don't get that.
Yeah.
It's very odd.
Now, on the cover of nearly all the papers is a beautiful official photograph from Kensington Palace of the Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, with her three children. I had to look this up, but their names are George, Charlotte and Louis. Yesterday was Mother's Day, so this was a sweet tribute to her and the first official picture issued since she'd had abdominal surgery and disappeared from public view. So, Rob, they say that a picture is worth 1,000 words. What story is this picture telling us?
You can get much more than 1,000 words out of this picture. And indeed, let's go to the Daily Mail, who we know will have done this the best.
Right.
And official Daily Mail doctored photo correspondent Sarah Vine weighs in. She's on the mend, so what a pity this image is fueling yet more rumours. Finally, says Sarah, after weeks of growing speculation. Have you been able to sleep worrying about why Kate Middleton wasn't on the front page of the Times every day?
No, it's been a worry, hasn't it? It's very sad.
Yes, I'm worried.
Mm. My dog's worried. Everybody's worried. that's all we talk about. After weeks of growing speculation, a sign that she is, if not quite ready, at least truly on the mend. Characteristically all smiles. I note that she's not wearing her wedding and engagement rings. No doubt she was required to take them off for the operation.
This is just rubbish. Sorry, yeah, how does she know that? Well, she's had an operation several weeks ago and she can't put her wedding ring back on.
I hear your this is just rubbish, and I give you that Sarah Vine has managed to fill 400 words of space on a tight deadline late at night, and that's what she gets paid for.
Yeah, okay?
It's true. Or is it? Mm. She says, because it turns out, so there's all sorts of stuff about this photo that's weird. For any not extremely online listeners who haven't followed all of this, Princess Charlotte's wonky wrist, which doesn't seem to quite line up with her jumper. There's something wrong with Louis's shoulder. And is Kate Middleton even in it? There's all this speculation, basically.
About the photo. So the photo was issued and the photo looked lovely to me. The main thing I thought that was weird about it was they were all smiling, which is quite hard to do with small children. They were all smiling at the same time. And then people on the internet looked at it very hard and said, no, it's AI. It's all AI, and maybe Princess Kate isn't even there.
Yeah.
You could also look at it.
Aliens. Mm.
If they're laughing, they could also be viewed as crying.
Yeah, if you look at it with a different face.
They're watching
oh my
their
God.
Mother being taken away by an alien ship.
What kind of surgery have you had?
Bring mummy back.
Who are you? So anyway, the internet went mad about this and looked at the thing. The fact that she wasn't wearing her wedding
ring.
It's
a different person. It's a stunt Kate.
It's a stunt Kate, clearly. Mm. And so the internet went a little bit mad. But then, which just the internet does, and I thought nothing about this. I thought, you know, they've decided she looks a bit weird. She's obviously an AI person. But then the picture agencies, so what happens when you get a picture is that Kensington Palace issues this picture and then picture agencies distribute it all around the world. So like Reuters, Associated Press, all these people send it around. And they sent these absolutely amazing notices saying they have to withdraw this photograph because it appears you've manipulated the image. But the way they phrased this was great, wasn't it, Rob? What did they say?
They issued a mandatory kill. Coming to cinemas soon.
In a world where killing is mandatory.
Who will save the royal princess?
Where is her head?
Mandatory kill.
Starring John Bon Jovi as Rex. The Patriot.
Ooh, and just as we're finishing the programme, a tweet has come in from Kensington Royal, which is William and Kate's Twitter account. And it's supposedly from Princess Kate, though how do we know? Because we can't see her. This is what she says. Like many amateur photographers, I do occasionally experiment with editing. I wanted to express my apologies for any confusion the family photograph we shared yesterday caused. I hope everyone celebrating had a very happy Mother's Day. So she finally breaks her silence. Poor thing. I do feel a bit sorry for her. So she's obviously tried to make it look nice because William's picture wasn't good enough and she's made it look nice and now it's all her fault. Now, it was the Oscars last night, and by all accounts, it went okay. Boo. No slaps, no arguments, no wrong envelopes leading to the wrong winners. This is all very boring. But Rich, anyway, let's reclaim it, shall we? Who were the winners?
Well, obviously, Cillian Murphy.
Which we're happy about.
Best actor. Well done. In fact, about 7 Brits won out of the 23 categories. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, but we hesitate to call Cillian a Brit because he's Irish.
British. No, right.
No, I knew that.
Absolutely not. He's solidly Irish. But yes, people, I tell you what was a nice win. Was the guy who won for sound design. He's so good that he was nominated for 3 different films. This British guy is called Johnny Byrne, and he won for Zone of Interest. That is amazing. He was nominated for 3 films.
And the sound in Zone of Interest is
amazing.
This is something I didn't know. Robert Downey Jr. had never won before, and he got Best Supporting Actor for Oppenheimer. Well done, Robert. This was a bit of a surprise. Emma Stone won the Best Actress.
Yeah.
For Poor Things, beating out Lily Gladstone, who's a Native American, for, of course, Martin Scorsese's film.
Killers of the what?
Killers of the Flower Moon.
Yeah, it's very long.
Which you love, by the way.
Don't make me come over there.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, we did not love that one, really.
Barbie didn't get many nominations, but it did win. Billie Eilish's song won.
Yeah, that's
and
nice.
Ryan Gosling got to perform as Ken with about 65 other Kens on stage.
Yeah. Oh, so he wins. He does win. So, I mean, it's the Oscars. I think if you were running the Oscars, you would probably say this went pretty well. Al Pacino messed up when he had to read out the winner of the best film, but, you know, we move on. At least he announced the right one. So it was a good one for the people of Hollywood. However, I think as somebody who wants the scandal, who wants somebody toppling off the stage, who wants the rouse, it was a bit boring.
I know. Even like a long time ago, there was a streaker on stage. They did a fake streaking incident. That shows you how slick it is.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
With John Cena covering up his you-know-whatsies with an envelope.
Yeah, exactly. But you are obviously an esteemed performer, are you not? Yeah, you are. You've been in the real Wonka. You went in
the Glasgow one. AI-generated script one.
Yeah. No, not in that one. So have you been to the Oscars?
Well, I haven't been per se, but one particular Oscar, I decided I would crash a Hollywood party.
This sounds good.
So I gave a name. I just gave a fake name that I thought would be at the party. They let us in. Briefly, I saw Boris Becker and Jennifer Aniston, and then I was escorted out.
They came and got you.
Boris, Jennifer, vouch for me. Oh, it was so exciting, though.
How did they usher you out? Did they just grab you by the back of the neck?
Yeah, well, it was one of the guys, you know, with the things in their ear, the earpiece, like the Secret Service agent say, would you please leave, sir? And with the threat of course, pummeling.
So we're quite pleased about the Oscars, we think.
I mean, Oppenheimer, fine. Okay, I mean...
Long.
Yeah. And I could take a 3-hour film about the physics and politics of building the atom bomb. Less excited about Oppenheimer's affairs, quite honestly. I was sitting there going, more General Groves, more getting the scientists, you know, tell us how you built Los Alamos. That's what I want to know. But the boring man that I am, and I want boring male films from Christopher Nolan. All fine, I guess. I thought Killers of the Flower Moon was a terrible overlong film.
It wasn't great.
I'm sad for Lily Gladstone, but you know.
Yeah, but she was in bed for most of the time. That's not acting, is it?
I mean, she wasn't a great role for her, to be honest, although it was sort of a breakthrough role. At the same time, it's just like, how interesting her character actually was, I thought that film completely failed to show how interesting the woman that she was playing was, if you see what I mean.
And there was one Trump joke.
There was a Trump joke.
Yeah, Jimmy Kimmel, right? He's
Trump
the host.
Trump said something.
Yeah, he tweeted something nasty about Jimmy Kimmel because he didn't like him.
And Jimmy Kimmel tweeted back in real time, aren't you up after your jail time?
Which is a good joke.
Very good.
Yeah.
Pithy. Well done.
I'm David Baddiel. I'm a writer and a comedian and a Jew.
I'm Saida Varsi. I'm a businesswoman and a politician and a Muslim.
Jews and Muslims always seem to be in the news or on the news. Lots of people talk about us, and this is us talking about ourselves. The kind of things that people say don't touch, yeah. We are going to go there.
I mean, I think Jews and Muslims are talking about these things, but I think they're not talking about them together because they're worried that if they do, sparks might fly. A Muslim and a Jew go there.
Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, as you all know, we love a funny, punny headline here at Papercuts. Headlines are our happiness, which is why we invented Fix the Headline, our special competition where we get you lovely listeners to give a decent headline to a story that needs one. On Friday, we gave you a story from the Daily Star about a new all-you-can-drink deal for families at Butlins. The headline was Naughty But Nice, which was quite frankly a missed opportunity. But we knew you could come up with something better, and you did. On X, Kevin Roche gave us the excellent Alco-Hollybobs. That is good. That is very good. John Penny offered both Pissed Family Robinson.
I like that. That's good.
And in Alco Parantis. And Deborah Tree tried with Hi-pi-di-eyed. And on Threads, Emperor's New gave us foolproof holidays. Very good. But the winner from Threads is Peter Watson 693 with Wobbly Knees Contest. That's so good. I love it.
Good on you, Peter.
That's really good. Just send us your address and T-shirt size, Peter, and soon your life will be upgraded by a Papercuts T-shirt. Hooray. What about today, Rob? Have you got any good headlines over there?
I've got The Sun, and I've got Bizarre at the Oscars, Glitz and Gongs at Movies Big Night, lots of pictures of dresses. And the story is about Ryan Gosling's amazing song, which he belted out. And the headline is, Yes, Sir, I Can Boogie.
Ken Boogie.
Is it Ken Boogie, right? Yep. And my next one is the Energy Network has decided to stop repairing out of hours because it's cheaper to pay the fines.
Wow.
The headline is National Gridiots.
Good.
Which I think we can agree with.
Yeah, that's very good.
And finally, Mission Impossible star has been taking time off from filming in Derbyshire.
And not being invited to the Oscars.
to visit a restaurant and had his photo taken with the staff. And the headline is, Look, Cruise here.
Very good. All right. And there he is, Tom. Okay, Rish, you have the star.
The Daily Star, yes.
Okay, yeah. What story do you have?
Okay, well, first of all, the Ministry of Defense has issued this because the armed forces are facing more cuts to plug a reported $29 billion budget that they're going to have to cut out free tea and bickies.
What?
Yes. So the headline is crumbs.
That's old school. I like that.
Very old school.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, but I have a tremendous hatred for puppets.
Oh.
No.
I don't know if any of you knew this.
No.
No, but the puppet master, Richard Cadell, do you know him?
No.
He's bought the rights to the puppet Sooty.
Sooty.
Yes. Now, apparently, he has so many copies of Sooty, he brings them around on tour with him. Mm. And the headline is, Sooty, more lookalikes than Putin. That's a good one.
Who's the real murderous dictator?
Yeah. Tell me about it.
We don't see Sweep anymore, do we?
No, Sweep was a fun guy as well.
All right. Now, I know all of you bring stuff, food to the office, of course.
Always.
But now, hungry Brits are finding it acceptable to eat a full roast dinner in the office. And the headline is, heated debate over leftovers for work lunch.
No, that's the headline.
Roast office. Sorry, people. Roast office. I get it. I am a comedian. I do get it.
Now, we found rather a sweet piece in The Guardian today about a, quote, radical crab collection in Margate in Kent. The Crab Museum is trying to get us all to think differently about crabs. Rob, what is on offer at this rather sweet museum?
So this is a crab museum. It's a museum of crabs that has been set up in Margate, Britain's sort of third cultural centre, increasingly by a pair of brothers and their friend. And it's just really wacky. Did you know, for instance, that every year hundreds of thousands of horseshoe crabs are milked for their bright blue blood, which is used to test vaccines?
Yeah, I mean, it's full of kind of odd
bits like this.
It's
amazing.
Yeah, and they set it up. So it does sound like quite a good little attraction. So you go along and you see the Hawaiian pom-pom crab, and he carries, well, I'm assuming it's a he, maybe it's a she, carries two stinging anemones in its pincers, and then it waggles them like a cheerleader to fend off predators.
What does it carry?
Anemones. So they're saying, look, that's quite interesting because it's actually using, the bit that we're meant to be so amazing at is the fact that we can use our, first finger and thumb to pick things up. But they can do it too.
So it's intelligent.
Yeah, it's intelligent. And they also, the thing that I also quite enjoy is they set it up in slightly comedic way. So they've got a reef crab, a moon crab, and a common box crab, right? And none of them should normally meet. So they thought that what they would do is just set them up. One's dressed as a trade unionist, one's a member of the British Union of Fascists, and the other one's got a tiny policeman's helmet on trying to stop them fighting. This is what you want from a museum.
Recreating the Battle of Cable Street. And it's doing very well. Last year it attracted 80,000 visitors. It's free, but they make their money with a very lovely online gift shop that we've all been admiring.
I wonder what the cafeteria is like. I'll have a horseshoe latte with the blue milk, please.
Yeah, you can get, the merch. So it's free to get in, but you buy merch in order to support it. And they've got some really good merch there. So they've got this excellent hat, which is in the shape of a crab made out of cardboard. But they've also got a can that looks like a kind of can of tuna, and it's just sea breeze, i.e. there's nothing in it. Things like that, I appreciate. I hope it does very well. It looks great, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, I absolutely. Next time I'm in Margate.
Yeah, we'll be there. So we found some other interesting museums. Would you like to hear them?
Yes, I would love to.
The Baked Bean Museum of Excellence.
Oh, you must stay 6 meters away from the nearest customer.
Yes, exactly, at all times. That's in Port Talbot. Cuckoo Land in the Peak District. That is really amazing. That is two mad brothers who've collected loads of cuckoo clocks. It's really fantastic. And they're looking for somebody to run it once they die. So just, in case anybody wanted to take it up, there's that. Teapot Island. That's also in Kent.
Sounds like a horror movie.
There's other ones I can offer you. Salt and Pepper Shaker Museum. That's in the United States. The Phallological Museum in Iceland. That's the Museum of Penises.
Hello.
And the Tapwater Museum. That sounds quite bad. Yes. Tapwater Museum. Tapwater Museum. And Rich, you have a story about the return of the woolly mammoth, do you not?
Well, apparently there's a genetic company called Colossus Bioscience that says it can edit stem cells.
You don't sound like baddies.
They say they can edit stem cells from an Asian elephant to create the woolly mammoth.
Wow.
Yeah, which became extinct about 4,000 years ago. And they think they can do this by 2028.
Wow.
Bit of a hairy problem, isn't it?
It really is. It's also like that is actually a brilliant film, isn't it? Somebody should be making a documentary about this right now because it's Jurassic Park.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this is going to happen.
In our lifetimes. And that's the end of today's Paper Cuts. Thanks to Rob.
Thank you.
Thanks to Rich.
Thank you.
And of course, thanks to you lovely listeners, especially our Paper Cut supporters who get a shout out on the show. Rob, who do you have?
Hello and welcome to the Paper Cuts Army, to Andrew Picken and John Sheehan.
Massive shout. And hold the front page to Joseph Hussey and Neil Hilton.
Welcome aboard and let's go for a long lunch to Hillary Neal and Holloway Linda, which I really like that name. Or is it Linda Holloway? But anyway, Holloway Linda, that's what I'm going for. I've been Miranda Sawyer and you've been listening to Paper Cuts on a day when Saudi Arabia's newly unveiled first ever male humanoid robot copped a feel of a female reporter. Since this robot already seems to be learning from men's worst traits, we're expecting the next version to have C3BO. Ha ha! See you tomorrow.
Paper Cuts was written and presented by Miranda Sawyer with Rob Hutton and Rich Fulcher. The producer was Liam Tate with assistant production by Adam Wright. Audio production and music was by me, Simon Williams, and socials were by Kieran Leslie. The group editor was Andrew Harrison, the managing editor was Jacob Jarvis, and the executive producer was Martin Boytosh. Paper Cuts is a Podmasters production.